I'm going to heaven. I said, Dad, that didn't help him answer the question. It has colored his dreams. He has had some weird stuff, but he's here. And he's walking, and as one podiatrist said, if you're going to lose a toe, the fourth toe is the best one to lose. So we thank the Lord that he's home, that he's doing well, and looking forward to a full recovery. I'm going to read the whole chapter of John 21. Some thoughts I'd like to share with you this morning. Actually, I'm going to be concentrating on verse 22. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire on coals there, fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and breaketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto thee, I said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you that, Lord, you touched our souls and my soul. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way this morning. Help me as I speak. Help me to transmit what you want me to say. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I like Peter. I like the story of Peter. It's one of my favorite stories. I guess because we see some of the normalcy, the things the normal we go through, the normal failures of life, the ups and the downs, and somebody who kept going and wouldn't quit. I like Peter. This chapter talks about Peter as much as anything else, and I look at it and it seems very personally directed toward Peter. Some individual things about Peter we find in the scriptures that we don't find about others. I mean, Peter was the only man alive other than Jesus that ever walked on water. There were other disciples in the boat, but they didn't get out. I like Peter. Peter was willing to stand up, was bold, and confront things. And on the day of Pentecost, he was the one that's noted as speaking. And yet here we come, and Jesus is, looks like he's almost picking on him. Peter, do you love me? We know that Peter denied him three times, and I know that a lot of people, I've heard it told, and I tend to think it myself, that he had this time to go catch Jesus alone and make a personal apology. I think that's what he did by that. I don't know that. That's my opinion. I appreciate that because so many people are afraid to even go talk to somebody whom they've offended. But he took the time to go do that, make things right with somebody he had done wrong. I appreciate that. After supper, and Jesus didn't need the fish that they caught. He already had fish and bread. He already had a fire. He had everything he needed. He wanted them to recognize who he was. That's the Lord. And they went. They dined. They fellowshiped with Jesus. Out on the beach, early in the morning. I don't know what time it was. Can you imagine that? Had a good time. And after it's over, sort of seems that Jesus and Peter start walking around. I don't know, maybe walking down the beach. And John's following them. He's just hanging on. And Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me? We know the answer. He says, yea, Lord, I know you. I love you. You know I love you. And he asks him three times, and he's grieved. Lord, why would you ask me that three times? I think he wanted to get his attention. Then he makes a statement in verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, consignifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he saith unto him, follow me. Now I don't get how the statement Jesus made signifies what death he's going to die. I can't explain that. It does seem very clear to me that he's telling Peter, Peter, you're not going to have a comfortable retirement. You're not going to have a church and a ministry, and when you get old and you can't do anything, you're going to sit down and have a comfortable retirement. Basically, he's telling him you're going into captivity. You're not going to have any choices about what you eat or drink or what you wear or where you go. It's not going to be an easy road for you. Oh, Peter, follow me. Even though it's going to be tough, follow me. Jesus makes that comment several times in the New Testament. Several times in the Gospels, you can find it specifically in Matthew chapter 16, in Mark chapter 8, in Luke chapter 9. He says, take up your cross and follow me. We're commanded to follow Jesus. We're commanded to go after him. We're commanded to take that into account in what we're doing and how we're doing it. And it's a command of every one of us. Then Peter, hearing this bad news, turns around and says, Lord, what about him? What's he going to do? And Jesus answers something. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, if I will that he hangs around until I return, what is that to thee? What importance is that to you if he lives and you die? That's basically what he said. How important is it to you what he does? Follow me. What is that to thee, Peter? I want you to follow me. This morning, I'd like to look at a few points here. I'd like to look at the present argument, what he's talking about. I'd like to look at that this is personal, individually personal to Peter and to each and every one of us. I'd like to look at how this argument might be affected by the past, our past, somebody else's past. I'd like to look at the payout, the return on investment, the reward when it comes down to it. The last thing I'd like to look at is the promise, because there's a promise here. First of all, the present argument. What's this man going to do? Jesus says, if I want him to live till I come back, what difference is that to you? What difference does it make? And I think that's a question every one of us needs to answer. God says, follow me. And we look around and say, well, Lord, as my daddy used to say, he didn't want to be a pudgy-handed preacher. Do we have qualifications on what we're going to do for Jesus? Do we put limits on it because Jesus tells us to follow him? And we say, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be a failure. I want to be a success. Lord, you want me to follow you? I'll do that if I'm a success. I'll do that if I can do have a good job and everything works out for me. I'll be glad to do it, Lord. I'll take a few problems along the way. But overall, I want it to be a successful life. Do we put limits on God? He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you rich. That's not what he said. He said, follow me. He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you successful in either business or ministry or whatever it is. There is a large concentration of people preaching a prosperity gospel, and I want you to know this morning, it's not true. Amen. Jesus said specifically, if you follow me, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have trouble. They're going to take you and they're going to beat you and they're going to kill you and they're going to drive you out of their synagogues, out of their churches. They're going to get rid of you because they hate you. That doesn't go along with what God, what this prosperity gospel teaches. It's just not true. And what he told Peter definitely goes against that. Peter, you're going to die in a way to glorify me that's not pleasant. Well, what about him, Lord? How many of us think about doing something for God and back off because it might cost us something? Because it might be hard. We might have to work at it. It might not make the wife happy. It might not make the neighbors happy. It might not be to our liking. And that's the argument here. That's what he's saying. Well, what about him, Lord? You tell me I'm going to die an ugly death. What about him? I wonder how many people, you know, I remember talking one time about being a preacher when I was in high school. And a neighbor of ours, a guy we ran around with a little bit, I wouldn't exactly call him a friend, but he made a comment and said, hey, that pays good, doesn't it? Well, he didn't know my father. He hadn't been the kind of preacher my father had been. But I've never forgotten that comment. A lot of preachers are in it for the money. A lot of ministers are in it for the money. I watch them move from this church to a bigger church to a bigger church. They're always looking for something more. What about what God wants? If you're in it to make it a career out of it, you're in it to make more money out of it, you're in it for the wrong reason. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say follow the money. He said, follow me. Don't follow the crowds. Don't follow the acclaim. Don't follow the applause. Don't follow the love of men. Follow me. Amen. If this world hated me, it's going to hate you. Make sure you do it for the right reason. Amen. Make sure you put your heart in it because it's going to cost you everything. That's what he told Peter. I think he's telling us that today. I think everybody in this room has a call to follow Jesus. Every one of us in this room has a ministry to do to serve Jesus. Every one of us has something we can do to please Jesus. And we're all called by Jesus. Follow me. What kind of excuses do we make? And that's what he was doing. He said, Lord, what about him? You didn't say anything nice about me. What about him? Jesus says it doesn't matter about him. It matters about you. And I think that same call echoes down today. It doesn't matter about him or him or her. It matters about you. What are you going to do? You follow me. Follow thou me. Another thing I noticed as I was going through this passage and thinking about it, in this particular instance, it's very personal. He's just told Peter three times, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, follow me. And then again, follow me. He's dealing with Peter's heart. There is the general command to follow Jesus Christ. We find that in the scriptures. We find it in the gospels. It's true. It's applicable. It applies to each and every person in this room. But the Lord also comes to a point where he deals with us individually. Talks to us by name. In our own heart, in our own mind, in our own life. And sometimes maybe more than once as he grows us. What about you? What about you? I've got a call for you. I have a ministry for you. I have something for you to do. Not just to be part of the crowd. Will you follow me? The call is to you individually, personally, by name. Follow me. Follow me. That's not easy. It's not easy for several reasons and several things I've thought about. Number one, I think a lot of people would like to have a ministry where they get the acclaim of Joel Osteen and some of these other people. I'm sorry, that scares me. I don't want to be anything like Joel Osteen or Benny Hinn or some of these others. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but I think they're walking down a dangerous road. And they're leading a lot of people astray. What are the things that keep you from following Jesus? Thought about things in our past. Failure? Did you try one time and it didn't work out? So you quit? You're sitting there. You come to church. You make it to church. You give your money. You go through the routine. You try not to do anything evil or bad or whatever, but You're just not going to get up and put yourself out there and take a chance. You got burned one time. I think Peter got burned bad. And he got told he was going to get burned bad. He told, you're going to die. Not a pleasant way to go. It's not going to turn out good for you in this life. But I still want you to follow me. You have a failure in your life? Many failures in your life? One thing I've learned about Jesus. He forgives.
Amen.
And he rebuilds.
Amen.
He takes broken lives. Puts them back together.
Amen.
He takes broken marriages and puts them back together. He takes broken families and puts them back together. He takes broken hearts and broken minds and all sorts of broken problems in this life, and he puts them back together, and he can take your failure and put it behind you.
Amen.
Won't you follow Jesus? Talking about the past. Could it be success? Whoo! I did a good job. 20 years I was doing this, and look how well I've done. It's time to sit down and just take a break. I don't think that's an excuse either. I want to go on. I want next year to be better than this year. I want next year to be more done for Jesus than this year. We're not allowed to sit on our laurels. We're not done yet. We haven't won anything. Everything we've got was won for us by Jesus Christ. And he gave us a command to follow him. And we follow him all the way to the death. That's what he told Peter. You're going to die for me. You're going to die for my glory. Why shouldn't we be the same place? Aren't we willing to go all the way to the death for Jesus? Every time he talks about following him in the Gospels, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Taking up the cross means dying. Because every time they picked up the cross, they walked out to the place where they're going to crucify him. It means death. Paul said, I die, and I die several times. He talks about dying, going to the death, and I count myself to be dead. Neither failure nor success is a reason to stop serving Jesus Christ. Both of them are good reasons to get up and go on. Both of them. When you think about it that way, one other thing I thought about is why don't people serve God? Why don't people follow Jesus? Could it be ignorance? I don't know what to do. Well, maybe that's part of it. I'll give you a few hints. Do you know anybody that knows Jesus and follows Jesus? What do they do? Got a crowd here. You know, I know a lot of these people, and I know that they follow Jesus. Why don't you take a hint from them? Come to church on a regular basis. Make it regular. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. It's an old joke. My parents drug me to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. When I got saved, I made a decision that I was going to be in church when they had regular services and they had a regular time to meet. I would be there. When I felt like it, when I didn't feel like it, when I wanted to, when I didn't want to, I just made it a point in my mind, in my heart, I was going to have to be very, very sick, basically to the point where I would cause other people problems if I wasn't going to church. I won't say I've lived up to that every time, but that's been my goal. Why? I want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to follow Jesus. You know who I find in church? Other followers.
Amen.
You want to learn how to follow? Get with some other followers and find out what they're doing. Find out how they're doing it. Find out why they're doing it. Find out the joy in doing it. Find out the mistakes that they make. Find out all the things that they go through. If you're ignorant of how to follow Jesus, get around some people who do it.
Right. Amen.
Make it a habit. Don't let it be an excuse. Get up and do something. Fourth thing I wanted to talk about this morning is the payout. Do you know there's a reward for serving Jesus?
That's true.
Oh, it's great to have this ideal. I'd like to love Jesus so much that I don't do it for the reward. But Jesus didn't even ask us to do that. He promised reward after reward after reward. He talked a lot about reward. He talked more about reward than all the other people do. Paul talks about reward. He talks about getting to the judgment seat of Christ and everything's burned up. Do you have any gold and silver and precious stones? I know what I want. I want some gold and silver and precious stones. I want when I get to the end of my life, when I get there and everything's judged and everything goes through the fire and there's something left that glimmers, I want that. I don't want to get there and there's burned up. There's nothing but ashes. I don't want that. Jesus said, do it for the reward. All the way from the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about reward. He's talking about do this and be careful when you do it. He said, let other people know what you're doing so that your Father who seeth in secret can reward thee openly.
Amen.
He wants to reward. There is a reward. There is a payout. There is a return on the investment for following Jesus. It's worth the effort. I'm going to pick on Levi this morning. I asked him how he's doing. He said, I'm out of school. Good for him. No more studies. And then he says, I'm studying to be a fireman. It's never over, boy. It's never over. It's worth putting the effort in to serving Jesus. There is a reward. And you know what? If you find life here and you find reward here and you gain the very best of this life and you buy a $1 million home and you've got 5 acres to put it on and 25 cars and all the luxuries and all the vacations and everything you want in this world and you have no diseases and everything goes right and you come to the end of your life and there's nothing left. Was it worth it? What is the return on the investment for 70 years lived for this world? Ashes? Are you going to stand before Jesus Christ and say, Lord, here's my ashes. See how good I did? I don't want to do that. I want something eternal. I want something to carry over into glory. I want Jesus to say, Eddie, you did a good job. Here, I've got some more things for you to do. I've got a few cities for you to manage. I've got some more things for you to watch over. That's the way he talked about the rewards. The one who came back with 10 talents, he put him over 10 cities. The one who came back with 4 talents, he put him over 4 cities. I want something to do for Jesus that it rewards me. He says, you did a good job, Eddie. I got more work for you. I want to be recognized by Jesus for having done something for Jesus. I was a soldier. 4 years in ROTC in high school. 10 years in the U.S. Army. I'm not ashamed of it. I was there during the Vietnam War. I'm proud of being a U.S. Army soldier.
Amen.
I'm prouder of putting on the uniform of a Christian and trying to serve Jesus.
Amen.
I would like to be able to stand before Jesus Christ with that uniform of a Christian, that uniform of a Christian warrior, that uniform of a soldier of Jesus Christ, and he puts the medals on. Hey, Sharpshooter. Hey, good job here. Hey, this reward is for this. I want a few rewards. I want the recognition. I do want that. There is a payout for serving Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you to consider that this morning and give your life to Jesus? There's a reward for it.
Amen.
And that reward is worth going for. That reward is worth chasing. That reward is worth living for. The last thing I'd like to mention this morning, there's an implied promise in this passage. He says, follow me. Well, if I'm supposed to follow him, he's going to lead me. You know what he said in Matthew? He said, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You'll never be alone if you follow Jesus. He will provide a path. He will lead you. Sometimes you may not see what's right in front of you. You don't know where this path is going. You don't know. You didn't have, don't even get enough information that Peter did that he's going to an ignominious and infamous end, if you will. But this is the way the Lord led me. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going because he's leading, and I know he's leading, and I know he'll be with me all the way. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you know you can't lose him? He's not going to lose you. He will guide you every step of the way. Can I encourage you this morning to follow Jesus? He asked Peter, what is that to thee? You ever considered what everything else in the world, what is it worth to you? What is that to you? What is success? What is failure? What is ignorance? But I can tell you that following Jesus is worth it. It's worth doing it. Amen. And he said he'd go with you all the way. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper.
Amen.
He said, I'd never leave you.
Thank you, Lord.
His promise is to be with you all the way. Pick up and follow him. One more thing I'd like to say this morning. I've talked this morning to Christians. I don't know everybody here, but I'd like to say this very clearly. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins. He took my punishment from God on himself, and he paid for my sins. He was buried in a grave. He came out of the grave on the third day, and the Bible says that he is the propitiation for my sins, and not for mine only, but for the sins of the whole world. If you're here this morning, and you don't understand some of the things I've said, you don't know what salvation is. You don't know what it means to be forgiven of your sins. You don't know what it means to get to the point where I want to follow Jesus and have him with me all the way. He promised that if any would trust him, he'd give them eternal life. He'd save their souls. He'd forgive them their sins and take them with him to heaven when they die. I'd like to encourage you this morning, if you don't know that, if that's something new to you, if you're not sure how to take care of it, come see me. I'll be glad to take time to talk to you. There's some other men here who'll be glad to take time to talk to you. Women, just come see me. Let's do that. Amen. If I can encourage you, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow me. Let's follow Jesus. Amen. We got a baptism. So let's all pass out these doors and gather around the baptistry. If anybody wants to talk, I'll be up here up front. Come on up.
Amen.